No, but praise God. I think Robin and the worship team, they just totally took the message, right? They took the word today. It's a little echoey and a little loud. I don't know if you can hear that, but amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to try not to preach or teach about Genesis today, okay? But Pastor Mike, if I go into Genesis, come up here and do something, all right? Stop me, right? Because we've been in Genesis for a little while, and I don't know if we're ever going to get out of chapter 7, but did you guys know in chapter 7, the judgment was about to come, right? And the Lord still left the door open for 7 days, right? And 7 days the Lord rested in creation, and the door stayed open 7 days, and Noah's name means rest, and the only one that could rest on the day of judgment was Noah because he was safely secured in the ark. That's what we talked about, right? But anyways, Pastor Mike, stop me next time, okay? Luke chapter 10 is where we're going to go today. And it's quite, I know you guys all know the scripture. And I think we worshiped the message today. But I don't know. I think I give it to Pastor Mike. I think it's here. But Luke chapter 10, verse 42. And we have, I like to call it like spiritual antennas. Like you hear something and it just kind of like, it catches your attention, you know, and your antennas go up. And when we read the word, and when I go into the word, like I'll see something, and it's like maybe it could be a word, it could be a thing, it could be something like the door being opened 7 days, it could be, you know, something that the Lord meets you and speaks to you in a specific way. Like, you know, Jesus spoke to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he said, and they said to each other, Jesus broke the bread, and they recognized it was him, and he was gone. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us the things concerning himself? And there was something in their heart, a passion and desire in the heart to hear the words of Christ. And there was a burning and desire. And it goes deeper than emotions. It goes deeper than feelings. It's not something that we just can randomly experience. It's when God touches our hearts. Amen? Luke 10, 42. And I keep hearing the echo. Anyways, I think it's me. I think I did it wrong, but. Pastor Mike helped me with the microphone today, so right, we'll blame each other, right? Amen. Luke 10:42, 10:38. I'm sorry, 10:38. Now it happened as they went, that he entered a certain village. He meaning Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care? My sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to help me. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. And I don't want to get too ahead. I mean, we work so hard getting notes, right? I work so hard, right? But I know I'm just going to. It's not going to work, right? I try, right? I try. I need a PowerPoint. Somebody teach me, right? I need a PowerPoint that'll keep me on track. But I try so hard to keep notes. And it's just, you know, you got your 4 points. I have 4 points here, but we'll see what happens, right? But anyways, so Jesus tells Martha, one thing is needed. And some translations say necessary. The New Living says, there's one thing worth being concerned about more than anything else, and this thing will not be taken away. Amen? First of all, there could be two reasons why Jesus is saying. One is getting close to his departure, his death. But two, because every disciple of Jesus must learn this one thing. Every disciple of Jesus, every disciple of Christ must learn to get closer to him and see where true rest lies. True rest besides all the busyness and the worry and the things of the world that we so easily get ourselves entangled in. But we must see the place where there's true peace, where there's true happiness, where there's true rest, where there's true freedom. And it doesn't lie in the things we can do. It doesn't lie in the work we can do. It doesn't lie in the strength and ability that we have. It only lies in one place. And that person is Jesus Christ. Right? What does this one thing do? What does this one thing sitting at the feet of Jesus do? And I thought about it, and I'm going through the notes, so just so you know, so if we're done in like 5 minutes, we're good, right? You had a long retreat, right? So whatever. But And I see this one thing, and I'm like, I'm starting to think of Noah again, and I'm starting to think of Lamech, and I'm starting to think of Methuselah, and I'm starting to think of Enoch, and I'm starting to go to Seth, and I'm starting to think to Abel, and I'm going back to Adam, the line of which the Savior would come, and I'm thinking, and then you go to Hebrews chapter 11, you go to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even Enoch's name there, Noah's name there, through Elijah even, right? And you think they all long for this one thing, but yet they never got to see it. They never stood in the place where we stand today because they were all longing for a person that they can sit at the feet and worship, the one place where they could see the glory of God. Even Moses, he says, Lord, show me your glory. He says, no, you're going to hide in the cleft of the rock and I'm going to pass by. You're going to see my goodness. You're going to see my backside. You're going to see the back of me go by, but you're not going to see my glory, which is what we can behold. Like John says in chapter 1, we beheld his glory. That we stand face to, we can stand face to face with Christ and understand that we're seeing the fullness of God in the flesh. That we're experience the fullness and the presence of God in our lives today. What they long to see, what they long to have, we have in our lives today. And what does it do? It breaks down. When you sit at in the presence of God and when you sit at the feet of Jesus, it breaks down our will and it breaks down the walls and sets our priorities in order. Amen? Oftentimes our priorities are to work hard and to achieve and to do things. And it's so amazing. I mean, you could spend the 30 minutes, 35 minutes we spent here in worship, and everything changes. Your outlook changes, your life changes, your decisions change, your rationalization changes. Everything can change just by sitting in the presence of God. Amen? But Jesus takes this opportunity to show us priorities. It shouldn't only be what we can say we can do for him, but what sitting at the feet of Christ can do for us and what it's already done for us. Our natural instinct is often to earn approval, right? Like, you know, I come from life, the life that you're always trying to gain approval by what you can do, by how much you can do, by how much you could accomplish, right? And even sometimes in our Christianity, we walk that way, where we think we're bringing our old life into our new life, and we've been learning about Romans chapter and Romans up to chapter 5. Now, that doesn't work. Because nothing we do is going to be good enough. Even if you're Jewish, if you're Gentile, nothing we can do. Nothing we can do will gain us that approval and that access. Matthew 20, I was reading the scripture in Matthew chapter 20. I was reading this parable, the parable of the workers in the field. And I thought, this is so not fair, right? The parable of the workers in the field. Jesus said in chapter 19, he says, when they're talking about the rich young ruler and the disciples are there and he's teaching them and he says, you know, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then the disciples' response was, well, then who can be saved, right? If this guy can't be saved, if this guy who has everything, who's done everything, who gives a lot of stuff away, he wouldn't sell all his possessions and follow Jesus. If this guy can't be saved, which is the epitome of what we all honor and think is good, then who can be saved? And then Jesus shares this parable, and I'll just read it for context's sake. The parable of the workers in the vineyard. It's a little lengthy, so. Verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And by the way, my big Bible is back there, and if I need to take hold of it, believe me, I'll bring it out, right? And he went out to the third hour and saw others standing idle, verse 3, in the marketplace, and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give to you. So they went. And again he went out in the sixth hour, and in the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, just as 1 hour before quitting time, and found others standing idle, and said to them, why have you been standing idle here all day? And they said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard. The vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. Verse 8. So the evening had come, and the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when he had chose, and when those who came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. Verse 11. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the heat all day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Do you not agree with me? Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do so, to do what I wish with my own things? Or is it your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. And I read Matthew 20. I read the parable of that Jesus gives. And I think my response is like, hey, that's not fair, right? These guys have been working 12 hours all day. And then you got guys that came, you guys got started at 6, you got started at 9, you got every 3 hours, 12, 3, and then 5. The last one was 5 because quitting time was 6, right? After the 12 hours were up. And I thought to myself, that just doesn't sound right. Right? But the conclusion of the parable that Jesus says is, and when he speaks to the workers, when the landowner speaks to the workers in the vineyard, because the owner of the vineyard represents God, and God tells the workers in the vineyard in the parable, he says, is are you angry because you're so selfish? Or are you angry because I'm so generous? And I think of that, I'm like, wow. That just totally blows my mind in a different direction, when I thought, like, I'm looking at things on this level, but God's looking at things at a way higher level than I am. Amen? But the Bible says you have been saved by grace through faith, and it is not of yourself, that it is a gift from God, not works, so that no one can boast. And we always want to fix things on ourselves, and we end up like Martha, you know, and there's nothing wrong with Martha, right? She's doing her job. She's doing what she knows to do. She got mad, she got upset while trying to do what's right, but her intentions were good. But we lose focus, we take our eyes off Christ, and we serve, we're serving Christ, even in the church, we're serving Christ, but we lose focus on what's really important. And that was Jesus' charge against all those religious leaders, is like, you tithe and you do this, but what about the bigger matters? What about the more important things? What about caring for people? What about helping people? What about serving people? What about all the things that I would do for you? David said in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Another one thing that he knew. Jesus breaks down to the walls of gender, social class. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, right? We see it. It doesn't matter if you're a man or woman, rich or poor. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you are baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, neither male nor female. For you all are one in Christ. And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You are no longer a second-class citizen. You are no longer a weekly beggar, but you are a son. You are sons and daughters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he loves us, and nothing can separate us from his love, right? And the funny thing about Paul and his discourse in Galatians, as he's telling the Galatian church, you know, there's a dispute in the Galatian church because the Judaizers come in, which is another term for people that are trying to influence the church, that you have to, yeah, you're saved by grace, but you have to add the law in, and they're trying to get by works and grace, and they're thinking, well, what's the truth? And Paul goes through this discourse in Galatians from verses 1 through 4, and he tells them about why they're saved, and I just read part of it. And then after they're saved, and after he tells them how they're saved by grace through faith, not of yourself, it's a gift from God, and he runs through all the discourse of why you're saved and how you're saved and the doctrine of salvation, more or less. And then verse 5 and 6, he says, but just remember this, you're saved, now bear each other's burdens. You're saved, now produce the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? So we see the way things work here. They don't work the way we think they should work. They work the opposite, actually, right? They work by the kingdom's principles and not our worldly principles. Amen? Pastor, I was sharing a little bit about that with me earlier, but it's, you know, it's amazing that the world is going further and further and further away from this devotion. There's these, and I don't want to harp too much on it, but Jesus puts our priorities in order. What's our priority in life? Ask yourself that. I ask myself that all the time. What's my most important thing I'm doing? Is it working? Is it even serving? What's my most important thing in life? Is my most important thing this one thing, Or is there something else taking the place of that? Is there something else taking? And there could be something so good, so amazing. You know, I have people I know, they love to restore cars or whatever it be, and it's beautiful, it's amazing, it's great, or, you know, working out, whatever. But that one thing is never a priority over God. Amen? Number two, it gets us closer to God. Martha was serving Jesus, but she was distracted from Jesus. She was distracted from Jesus while serving Jesus. I heard someone say this one time. They said the reason why she had a problem was because she was making sandwiches that Jesus never asked for. Sometimes the Lord's saying, I didn't ask for any of that. You took that upon yourself. Anybody ever do that? You take on all these different things. You take on all these different chores because you think somehow, some way, it's going to make you more righteous. It's going to make you feel better about yourself. But there's no end to that, right? Because all you learn, all you end up in the end is burned out. All that happens in the end is you end up working on your own strength, your own ability, and there's no freedom in that. There's actually a bondage because now you've made work into an idol, right? Jesus is not close enough. But Jesus is not to be associated with other things. And when we can't hear Jesus, our thoughts get distorted. Our minds get distorted. Because the reaction of Martha is something completely contrary to what's actually going on. She says, don't you care? Well, he wouldn't be there if he didn't care. Don't you realize I'm doing everything? I'm sure he's seen it with his own eyes, what's going on. You know, Martha says, you don't care, Jesus. You don't care about what's going on. And when we can't hear Jesus, things in our minds start to, we lose focus on the only thing that we see in front of ourselves. We only focus on the things that involves us. And suddenly, serving Jesus becomes all about us. That ever happened to you? Noah, you know, back to the ark. No, I'm just kidding. Suddenly it becomes all about her. One of the prophecies is when the Messiah comes, it will be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us, right? You see, in his presence, it's not all about us. In his presence, it's all about the King, and the King requires worship. The King requires requires adoration, right? We get distracted by our service and we lose sight of why we're even serving in the first place. Because we let our focus depend on what we can do, what we're doing at that moment, and we forget all about God. Right? Just like we see it. Right? Our focus becomes all about us. And when your focus becomes all about you, you miss the point entirely. Right? We miss the point. And that's what this is saying is. Right? And when the focus becomes all about you, just like, I'm going to try to wake you guys up. Just smack yourself, right? You guys ever smack yourself? No? You ever hit yourself? No? Okay, good. Right? So we're going to get into the comedy, right? The story, because I got to wake you guys up just for one second. But I tell Loretta, I took a page out of a psalm in Dina's book, right? We work out together now. Thanks, Psalm. Appreciate it. We work out together now. We've been working out for a while now, right? When COVID hit, I built a little covering, like a patio in a little gym, and we bought all the equipment. And I'm about to squat, like when you're like, you're into it, man. You're like, you got that 300 pounds and you're like, you're ready. And I tell Loretta, I said, look, when I pick this weight up, because not only do we got the weight, we got the bands, which gravity is actually pulling you downward. Once you get that bar off the rack, gravity's pulling you downwards, right? So I say, hey, when I get this weight, you help me up. You know, and don't hesitate. You help me up, right? And so she says, okay. I said, but I need you to do something for me. She says, what? I said, smack me. And she says, what do you mean smack you? I said, yeah, I'm fired up. You know, I'm ready to go, and I got the weight. And I'm under the bar. And you know how you get yourself. Anybody? He's nodding and said yes, and you're nodding your head no, right? And you're under that bar, right? And you're like Loretta, right? She said, yeah. You're under that bar, and you're like, you're tensed up, you're ready, you're locked your back together, you pull your lats in, you squeeze your lats, you grab that bar as tight as you can, you lock it in, you make sure your belt's super tight, right? You got your knee braces on, you're good to go. I said, hey, when I pull this bar off the bench, off the rack, you better make sure that when I come up, you help me up if I can't get this. Oh, it's a lot of weight. It's fun, though, right? You know, you got to push yourself sometimes. So She says, okay. I said, but listen, don't just like casually. I said, like hook me and pull me up, right? Don't pull me back. Don't pull me forward. Hook me and pull me up. She says, okay. So I got the weight, right? We got it. I got the weight. No problem, right? I go down and I'm struggling on the way up. And I'm like waiting for her, like, is she going to help me lift this weight? Right? I'm like, is she going to help me? Like, but I'm 3/4. I'm almost up. So she's like, I tell her, hey, if I'm like close, don't help me because then it's going to ruin the lift. I want to make sure I got the lift, right? So, and by the way, we worked out together, but I don't let her do no yoga. We don't do no fancy exercises. She does like lifting power. She does powerlifting basically now. So she's a powerlifter now. So anyway, so I'm like, you make sure you help me. And I'm 3/4 of the way. So she knows like, hey, if you're that close, I'm not going to help you because then you're going to get angry because you knew like you could have probably got it and then you're going to think it's a ruined lift, all that stress for nothing. So, but I feel this wind on the back of my neck. She knows. I feel this wind on the back of my neck, right? I'm like right here. I'm locked in. I'm like 300. The bands are pulling me down. I'm ready to get up and I'm pulling myself up. And I feel this wind on my neck. I'm like, what is going on? I start laughing. Like, what is that? I racked the weight. I was like, what are you doing? And she says, I was blowing on the back of your neck. I said, for what? And she says, because when I'm hot, I struggle, and I didn't want you to be hot, so I was blowing on the back of your neck to cool you down. I said, that helps. I said, you know what? That was great, because it made me laugh, right? I got such a laugh. I think about that more than anything now, right? It makes me laugh. And I tell you, now we go, and I tell her, look, when I'm squatting this weight, I don't want you blowing on me. You help me with the weight, right? You help me with the weight. So, right? So we're awake now. We're back awake now. But that's what she does. We, you know, that's how we do it, right? So, but she has her way of helping me. And it's way different than I would even have thought of. I've never thought of that. I've never seen that in my life. But she's blowing on the back of my neck, and she thinks that's helping me some way. And it must have helped me because we got the weight, right? We pulled the weight. But she has her way of dealing with me, of helping me. And it was not what I expected. I told her a different way. I had my own way, but she had her different way. And in the same regard, we have our way. We say, Lord, when I'm ready, Lord, I'm like doing this. I'm in the midst of the fire. You know, I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with the stress, Lord. And when I'm ready, this is how I want it done. But the Lord says, no. That's not how it works, right? I'm going to blow on the back of your neck. It's going to be something that you don't expect. But that's going to help you. That's going to help you. That's going to work. I know what's best for you. And our job is to put ourselves in that place where God can work in our lives. Amen? Number three, it allows us to hear His voice more clearly. Right? I'm going to use Loretta because she's like my best friend. Okay? So, I wake up at 2:30, right, in the morning. She wakes up at 3. And I get ready, you know. And on my way to work, I pray. When I get to work, I read my devotional. And at the beginning of, you know, nobody's there. I'm there alone, you know, because I got to get there before everybody, the workers and stuff. And but before, she used to watch the news every morning. You know, they have news on it like that early. And she's putting her makeup on and doing her hair and stuff. So she used to watch the news every morning. And she says, man, I watch the news every morning. And it's nothing but bad news. It's always the bad things that happened the day prior. It's always something. There was a flood. There was a fire. Kids got kidnapped. She's like, I'm not going to watch that anymore. She says, so she started watching, I don't know what she started watching, but she started watching teachings and her favorite teachers in the morning. And she has it on, and she's hearing the word, and she's listening to the word. And so then when I'm at the end of the day, I'm relaxing in the bed, I open the Bible or, you know, open up the tab that I'm reading, and she's like, you know what I learned today? And I was like, no, what'd you learn today? And she's like, you know, I was watching this, and it was saying that when people, you know, don't try to make people change themselves. You need to just be there for them. And she's preaching to me, and she's telling me all these things, and I'm like, man, she totally put herself in a place where she hears God. Amen? And like Mary, she sat at the feet of Jesus, and she heard His word. And verse 41 says that Jesus answered Martha's complaint. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but when He says that her name twice, it's a correction, but it's not a rebuke. It's a soft correction. So even though we may be making mistakes, God knows how to deal with these mistakes in our lives where He's not beating us down. He's not condemning us. He's not judging us. But He's there for us. He's there with us along the way. Because He knows all the way from the beginning of the book of Genesis to this point now in our life today, all this stuff's transpired, and it's called, you know, Proto-Evangelium, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and it's Proto-Evangelium, and it's going all the way through the scarlet thread, and it's getting to this place where the blood of Christ has reached our lives, and it cleanses us, and it washes our sins white as snow, and then now we have fellowship with God His way. Amen? And to see Jesus' response is, Martha, Martha. Whenever the name is said twice, like Jesus said, Simon, 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 Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat, but be of good cheer because I have prayed for you, and that your faith should not fail. And when you return to me, strengthen the brethren. And it's also in 2 Samuel, right? But Jesus wants her, but Jesus says her name in an affectionate way because He wants her to know, I'm not done with you. There's still work to be done in your life. Just like many of us that try to earn God's approval, that try to earn man's approval. If that's you and me today, God's not done with us. God still has work to do in our lives, just as He did. You know, we always think like Martha was wrong, but really, I think many of us would fall into the same category. Because we think this is the way to be successful. But God says, no, that's not the way to be successful. The way to be successful is, yeah, you're going to serve. Believe me. You're going to serve. Like they told the Jesus' disciples, hey, how come your disciples don't fast? He says, no. They're going to fast. Don't worry. But they're not going to fast while I'm here. But they're going to fast. You're going to serve, right? Everybody has to serve. Greatness, Jesus says, greatness is serving. Everybody's going to serve. But this particular time, while Jesus is here, don't focus on that. Focus on me. Amen? Jesus says, focus on me. Number four, it brings the love of Jesus to the forefront of our life. It makes it real. It's not just something we hear. It's the presence of Christ in our life. It's the fragrance of Christ. And it continues the progressive revelation of His love, because if we understood it all, just as Pastor Al says most of the time, if we understood it all, if we took all the correction, if we took all the love, if we took everything, we'd be overwhelmed. Because we can't handle it all. But the Lord gives it to us piece by piece, as a father would give to a son, as a mother would give to her children. The Lord gives it to us piece by piece. As His love unfolds, it continues to strengthen us. It continues to encourage us. It continues to help us to grow. And as we go through things in life, it could be tragedies, it could be misfortune, it could be whatever. God is there extending His hands to us in His love. You see, because God can't love us any more than He already does. He loves us as much as possible, meaning He didn't hold back anything when He sent forth His Son to die in our place. The prodigal son in Luke 15, you see, the son, you know the story, Luke 15, the prodigal son. The younger son, the prodigal son, that's the one that left. He went out because he wanted his inheritance. He said, Father, give me my inheritance. And he went out and he way squandered all his inheritance, and he was eating with the swine, right? The younger son, he's the son that left, right? And the father loved the son before he left home. The father loved the son as he was out doing whatever he was doing. And the father loved the son when he came back. That's God's love. The father's love never changes. And maybe like Martha, our thinking gets distorted when we think, Jesus doesn't care. Just like the older son and the prodigal, the same parable. He says, you know, I've been here all the time, doing everything right. This is a parable, by the way. And I, you know, you never had a party for me. You never killed the fatted calf for me. You never had a feast and invited all my friends. And the father looks at the son, the older son, he says, what are you talking about? You've been with me this whole time. You've always been with me. And everything I have is yours. Amen? Proverbs 4 says, guard your hearts, for out of it flows the issues of life. That Greek word, if you read it in Greek, the word is cardia. And it's more than just an organ that pumps blood through our bodies. You know, if you look deeper into the meaning of the word, it's like, you know, that we get the word cardiologist from that word, or cardiac arrest. Let's hope we don't, you know, we don't get cardiac arrest. That means you're having a heart attack, by the way. But, right? We get that word from there. And the word means, that if you look at the word, I look at the word search, if you do a word study on this word, it means what makes you tick. Like a clock ticking, the hand of the clock, it ticks and it ticks and it ticks. And that word means, the word heart means what makes you move. Every person gets out of bed in the morning, but what is the driving force behind you getting up and getting out of bed? Some people it's, I got to go to work. Some people it's, I care about my family, so I go to work. Some people it's, I have to pray. Some people, it could be whatever. And the question isn't what you do. The question about this word, about heart is, the Lord tells us to guard is, the why you do what you do. Why are you doing what you're doing today? Why are we serving, the Lord? Or why are we not serving the Lord? You see, the focus isn't so much what we're doing. It's the why behind what we're doing. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. That's what Jesus is talking about in the scripture here. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, that you being rooted and grounded in love. How Paul writes that you may be able to comprehend, means to understand through experience, not just an intellectual or mental assent, that we would begin to comprehend through experience, that we would know that we know that we know, like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. How wide? How wide is the Lord's love? Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so as far I have removed the transgressions from you. How long? Psalm 136:1, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. How deep? Philippians 2:7 says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and having come in the likeness of men, being rooted in the appearance of as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And how high? Romans 8:39 says, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from his love in Christ Jesus. See, God loves you. Amen? And when I think about how much he loves us and how much he loves me, you know what it makes me want to do? It makes me want to serve him more. When I think about this part, the why, it makes me want to serve. You see, Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I call you friend, right? Because he's letting us in on his plan. He's calling us his friends and his family. And believe me, I mean, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But for my family, I don't do it to get anything in return. I don't do it to look good. I serve them because we love them. That's the motivation for our servant. And I'll tell you what, that kind of servanthood goes way farther. Like Paul says, I can give my body to be burned, but if I have love, I am nothing. And the same church Jesus is talking to later on in Revelation chapter 2, and he tells them, I see your works. But none of those works equal love. He says, this one thing is necessary. When Jesus says this one thing is necessary, he's talking to each and every one of us. Spending time with God is the key to our strength, success in all areas of life. Be sure that we never try to work God into our schedule, but always try to work your schedule around God. Another quote is, if you find yourself a bit irritated, overwhelmed, it's a sign that you're spending less time with God and more time in the world. Right? I like this one, and it's a little deep, but it says, you never know God is all you need until God is all you have. And believe me, I've been living it, right? We try to notice the words of Jesus, but when Jesus says this is necessary, it stands out to each and every one of us, right? Maybe it could be our own problems. Maybe it could be our own doings. But Proverbs 4:23, the Lord says, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart and allow the Lord to speak to you. Guard your heart and allow the Lord to minister to you. If you find yourself a bit irritated, overwhelmed, like we see the story in Martha's case, understand this. That it just takes one step to get closer to God. And it can happen today. The Lord can speak to us today. The Lord can touch our hearts today. Even as Robin and Amanda were singing, and they're going to come up in a minute, they were singing and they're saying, "In your presence is where I belong. In His presence is where we find joy. In His presence is where we find refreshing. In His presence is where we're able to break the fragrant oil and pour it out upon Jesus." Mary broke the fragrant oil and poured it out upon Jesus, even though her brother had just died and could have used that for, she could have used that for something personal for her brother, but she says, "No, this is the Lord, and He's going to need it." And after that, every place Jesus went about before His death, He smelled like royalty because she's willing to make the sacrifice. Even though there's things in our life that we think are necessary, we save them for God. We save them for Christ. We don't give away the things that God's given us to the world because they belong to Him. Amen? So I'm going to ask Robin and Amanda to come up, and we're going to worship a little bit. And I want to challenge, well, I don't want to say challenge because it shouldn't be a challenge. I want to encourage you today as we worship, press in. I want to encourage you today not to, they're amazing, right? And they encourage us every Sunday, and not to, you know, make a big deal out of it, but they encourage us all the time. And they say, "Press in." I want to encourage you also. Just close your eyes for a minute. And just think about this. And just be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Nobody's going to embarrass you. This is between you and the Lord. And just say, "Lord, what is stopping me? Is it I'm too busy? Is it I'm too tired? Is it because I'm worried about too many things? What's stopping me sitting at your feet?" We've been praying on Friday nights. We've been praying for revival. We've been praying for a fire and a hunger to witness and to speak to people about Christ. And I feel like my heart's burning within me to be a witness for Christ. And our prayer today is that the wind would come, that the fire would blow. Even as the disciples, the Lord says, the Bible says in John chapter 20, verse 21, and Jesus breathed on the disciples, and He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I want you to ask yourself, though, as the wind of God comes and the fire burns, am I willing to lay down myself on the altar? You prepare the altar, you prepare the wood, you prepare the offering, but the Lord provides the fire. And the fire comes when we're willing to lay down our life and lay down our will and say, "Lord, just as Your Son Jesus says, 'Not my will, Father, but let Your will be done in my life.' Help me to present myself and my body as a living sacrifice unto You, wholly acceptable, holy and acceptable unto You, Lord. Help me to be real with You, God. Help me to be real with myself. Am I constantly striving, constantly working, and I feel exhausted, and I think maybe this Jesus thing doesn't work because nothing's changed? Well, I'm here to tell you today that He extends His hands to each and every one of us. And He says, 'Come to Me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.'" Oh, Jesus. We want Your rest, Lord. In Your presence, Lord, there's fullness of joy. In Your presence, God. So I'm going to ask you today, just surrender your hearts to Him. Surrender your life to Him. He's done amazing things in some of your lives. In most of our lives, He's done amazing things already. Don't lose heart. Don't shrink back. Don't go astray. Press in with everything you got, because time is short and the days are evil, and Jesus is coming back soon. I think Noah built that ark, and it was probably a great conversational piece. Somebody walks up and they said, "What is this?" And he says, "Well, let me tell you about it, what it is. This is God's mercy to mankind. This is Jesus. Laid down His life. He stretched out His arms. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." God's mercy is extended to each and every one of us. So, Father, I pray, Lord. I pray, God, that this wouldn't be just another time of we're going to close in a song. But this, we would have an encounter with You, God. This would be a transformation in our lives, God. This would be a turning point in our lives, God, that we would understand that it's not about anything else, Lord. Being in Your presence, sitting at Your feet, allowing You to be Lord. Thank You, God. Thank You. Jesus says, "Why do You call me Lord? You don't do what I say." Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for touching our hearts. If you're there in your seat, just allow the Lord to speak to you right now. Just say, "Lord, I've tried hard my whole life. I haven't had much success." I'm going to encourage you today, just stop striving, stop trying, and allow Him to work. Thank You, Lord. You're so good, God. You're so good. Thank You for the household of faith. Thank You for the family of God. Thank You for the brethren, Lord. Thank You for those who are on their way. Thank You for the revival that's on its way. Thank You for the fire in our hearts that burns within us, Lord, for more of You. In Your presence, God. Just allow the Lord to speak to you. Allow Him to minister to you as we worship.